when it comes to the word Vatachmol Alav, that Bas Paro had compassion on this child, and she came to the recognition quite immediately, Mialdei HaIvrim Zeh, that this, of course, was a child that had been abandoned, a child that could no longer be protected at home. So the Targum Unklus has a very important comment. What words does the Targum Unklus use to describe this language of Vatachmol Alav? Eliyah? Vachasas Alohi. Chas, like Chus V'Rachem Aleinu. An act of genuine mercy and compassion. Eliyah, beautiful. So let me make 2 points about this, which I think are both absolutely, absolutely vital. Point number one. If you fast forward to the 12th chapter of Sefer Shmos, where we talk about the Korban Pesach, there's basically two different interpretations of the word Pesach. The one that we're all familiar with, that Pesach means to jump over, Kvitza v'dilug. And yet if you look at Unklus in the 12th chapter, Ufasachti aleichem, anybody want to guess which word he uses? The very same word that is used in this context, that I will have compassion upon you. It doesn't relate to God hopping over the Jewish homes, but that the idea of Pesach is actually, and Rashi quotes this as well, according to the Targum Unklus and Rashi, it actually takes us back to the word chemwa, or lachos. So it seems extraordinarily important. Vatachmol alav, Vatomer mialdei ha'ivrimze. And Unklus again says, Vatachmo alav, from the language of chas, to have compassion. And on that night, not one, not five, not 10, not 20, not 40, but 80 years later, God would have compassion on not just one Jewish child, but on all of the Jewish children, because after all, the Jews had, by all rights, to be destroyed in Makas Bechoros. That's the whole idea of Ki Li Kol Bechor. Why does God sort of own all of the Bechorim of the Jewish people? We have to do Pidyon HaBen, because really we deserve to be destroyed. But an act of divine compassion, Ufasachti Aleichem, I'll see the blood and I'll have compassion on you, I will save you, I will spare you. God had compassion on millions of Jewish children. But what did it all start with? What made it all possible for God to demonstrate an act of divine benevolence, divine compassion? What made that possible? Whose act of singular compassion, Jacob? Whose act of... And so here we see something absolutely fascinating. I want somebody sort of to build a philosophical construct out of this. God's compassion 80 years later on a macro scale was potentiated by an act of compassion on a micro scale by one person, not even a Jewish person, okay? By Bas Paro, Vatachmol Alav Vatomer Mialdei HaIvrim Zeh. What do we learn from this, Eliyah? What do we see in terms of how God interacts in this world? Right? Had it never been for Bas Paro, Moshe would have never survived.
First of all, Hashem is always going to do whatever the people at the time are doing. If we're sinning, he's going to destroy us. If we're being compassionate, like Bas Paro is, then he's going to save us. But also, the fact that, like, because of one act of and not even by a Jew, we were saved, just like shows, like emphasizes the point that we should always try and be like the best we can be.
Yeah, and I think that to get back to the first part of what you said, Aliyah, which I think is deeply profound, that God interacts in this world on the basis of the agency that we demonstrate. God, Hein Ha'adam, Haya Ke'achad Menu, Ladas Tovara, the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva points out that this is the defining attribute of all human beings. That is to say that God wanted more than anything else and above everything else, God wanted us to make choices in this world and hopefully for the good. And that when we make those choices, so then God responds in kind. Her, Bas Paro's act of chemla, triggered a great divine act of chemla. In fact, that gives its name to the entire holiday. Pesach doesn't just mean kfitz of a dilug to jump over, but on the contrary, what it really relates to is this notion of God having compassion on us. Okay, now, I want to take things just one step further. We've now seen two women, or groups of women, to be more precise, that have been faced with a similar choice, whether to kill a baby, allow a baby to die, or to save a Jewish baby. I'm partial to the view in the Medrash, the Mialdos were not Jewish, okay? Even though, of course, I understand that Rashi and the Rashbam, you know, make it very clear that they believe that they were Jewish, and there are lines in that Medrash that make it seem that they were Jewish as well. But I'd like to focus with you for just a moment on the idea that the Mialdos and Bas Paro, they come to the same place, but I would argue that they get there in a very different way. We spoke about what the driving force for the Mialdos was, why they came to this decision. And it seems like Bas Paro gets to the same place, but perhaps for a completely different reason. Again, what does the pasuk say about Bas Paro, Eli? What's her rationale for saving the child? Exactly, it's a human response. It's an emotional response. Vatachmolav. She simply had compassion on this child. Vatomer mialdei Ivrim, says she understood the child was going to be left for dead. Now, what motivated Joe the Mialdos? It was a great humanitarian act. It was an act of great compassion. But the Torah doesn't describe it as an emotional response. On the contrary, how does the Torah describe it? As a function of What terminology does the Torah employ, Eli? Exactly. Vatirena hamialdos es elokim velo asu kasher diber alehen melech Mitzrayim. And we spent a lot of time defining the notion of yiras elokim, especially according to the Rambam in Yesodei HaTorah, of having a sense of the gap between the divine and us, the tzmim deos and us as a birya ketana shvela afela, and therefore we have to submit to his will and we cannot give in to somebody that's a melech, but is only a melech basar v'adam. V'lo asu kasher diber alehen melech Mitzrayim v'techayena esal yeladim. And then the Torah repeats that. V'yihi ki yaru hamialdos esalokim v'ya'as lahem batim. So yiras elokim is a philosophical position. They contemplated it, and they determined that it was wrong. So this is a very important idea in its own right. So if Bas Paro, again, is driven by this human response of chemla, and the Mialdos before her were driven by more of a theological position, I'm not saying that they were unfeeling, God forbid. I'm not saying that they didn't have compassion, they did. But sometimes in life we come to the right decision because of a philosophical reason, we've thought it through, we understand that it would be morally and ethically unacceptable. And that's sort of the model of the Mialdos. But Bas Paro, do we see here that she's engaged in any philosophical contemplation? Is she engaged in any theological, you know, consideration? What happens to Bas Paro, essentially?
She
She hears a child screaming, and she has compassion. There's a human instinct there. There's a basic human instinct. And sometimes, you know, we can come to a moral response, not so much by thinking our way through this, but by a healthy instinct, a humanitarian instinct. And I think that we have both of these stories to indicate to us, right, sometimes our instincts are not healthy. Sometimes our instincts are more selfish or narcissistic. But there is a humanitarian impulse, and I think that the two paradigms, one of the Mialdos, Vatirena Mialdos Es Elokim, that reflected a deep sense of theological orientation, spiritual concern, and Bas Paro, Vatachmola, Vatomer Mialdea Ivrim Zeh, I think both of these are ways of getting at the same results. A very different process. One is cognitively driven and one is emotive and visceral and responsive. But ultimately, they come precisely to the same place. Eliyah.
Maybe this is like highlighting the defining features of the different nations. Like, the mainstream are more driven by like a thinking, like logical kind of way. And the Jews are kind of thinking more like the God everything, so we
have. It could very well be. You could draw that distinction. Either it's a distinction between individuals, a distinction between the culture, but I think that is a very compelling idea. So Rashi says, doesn't say Vatiftach Vatireh, but Vatirehu Esmira Asa Esayela Zeopshuto Umidrasha. That Bas Paro saw that the divine presence rested with this child. Now, what does this remind you of before the Elia? Exactly. The Ramban's understanding of what Yocheved saw. Right? Yocheved, the Pasuk says, Vatera oso ki tovhu. And the Ramban says there was kind of a spiritual intuition. She saw that this child was ra'oi l'nes. That was the Ramban's explanation of Rashi's position, nismali habayis kulo ora. Right? That the idea being that there was something numinous, spiritual, about this child. And this is the second confirmation that we saw. Vihine nar boche. Go ahead, Jacob. Kolo. So his voice sounded like the voice of the Nar. Now, there is a Gemara in Masechta Sota where the Gemara expresses concern, the name of Rabbi Nechemya, that would make Moshe Balmum, that he had an unusual and abnormal voice. Now, we know this is but the first of many indications that Moshe struggled or he had unusual voice qualities, right? He was Aral Svatayim, Kichvad Peu, Chvad Lashon Anochi. So the Gemara says, Im Kain, if this would really be true, that, you know, he had the voice of a different pitch than would be normal for a yelad, for an infant, and therefore he sounded like a na'ar, Im Kain, Asisa Lemosha Balmum, the Gemara is a little offended at this suggestion, but that appears to be what Rashi is arguing, that Kolo Kena'ar, that he really had the voice of a child that was much older. Now, the Ibn Ezra disagrees. Vihine na'ar boche. And the Ibn Ezra says that it does not relate to his voice, but it actually relates to his physical size. Hayu. The Ibn Ezra says, Evarav Gidolim Ki'ilu Hunahar. That Vatiftach Vatireu Es Hayalad, she immediately saw a child. She recognized that his age was very young, but 3 months old. But Vihine Na'ar, when she took a closer look at him, he was physically larger than she would have imagined. Now, what does this remind us of? Whose position that we saw before, in terms of Atero so Kitovu, what does this remind us of, Eli? The Rashbam's view.
It was when it meant by saying that he was that
Exactly right. So that despite whatever you would normally expect from a premature child, that this child was physically in very good condition. So Rashi, again, makes 2 points. Vatir Ehu, she saw the Shechina, and that very much reminds us of the Ramban about Yocheved, Ki Tovu, the presence of the Shechina. Okay? Mihine Na'ar. The Ibn Ezra says, Evarav Gedolim Kina'ar. That frankly reminds us a lot of the Rashbam's Shita regarding Ki Tovu, that despite his being so premature, and especially at that time, really being very shocking that he could survive at all, that physically he was like a child that had come very much to full term.
V'hine nar bocha, kolo nishma kena'ar, lashon Rabbeinu Shlomo, this is the approach of Rashi. Kvar dachuze, but this has been rejected in the Gemara. V'amruim kenos isa l'moshe Rabbeinu balmum, that's the Gemara in Sota Yudbeis that I cited before. V'od matam shiyas kirakasav ovi kolo. Why would the Torah be interested in telling us at this stage that his voice was of an unusually deep or almost baritone timbre? V'Rab Avraham, the Ibn Ezra that we just saw, Amar, Shehayu Evarav Gedolim Kina'ar, that it was a reflection of his physical size. And initially she saw an infant, then she looked closer and it was like he was older, like a nar. V'ulai Hiskir Zela Yofyo, maybe this is an explanation of that he was very handsome. Ki Bavur Tuvo V'Yofyo Chamlalav, that maybe Basparo specifically was motivated out of a sense of compassion for this very handsome child. Ki Kirabo Shinolad Mikarov Vevarav Yafim Mubisukanim Kilu Hunar. But in any event, the Ramban, who thinks Rashi's position has been completely rejected by the Gemara because of the question of Balmum, he's not enamored of the Ibn Ezra's view, because it says Vine Nar Boche. So therefore Yoni says, Vyoser Nachon Shinefarish Bo, go ahead. It's more correct to say Chamla Alav, that it wasn't that his voice was of a different pitch, but that he was crying very desperately. It was a desperate cry. Now, if you ever listen to an infant cry, you can make a very quick distinction between a child that's crying because they're uncomfortable and a child that's crying in a very desperate way. So not kenar in the sense that the pitch or the timbre was off, but that he was crying with great intensity. Shayabocha kenar bicharitzus uzrizus vilachain chamla alav. And that's why she had compassion. She had compassion specifically because the nature of the cry was so desperate. Almost like he knew that he was floating down the river, not cognitively, but that when a child senses that they're alone, there is something deeply fearful in Moshe's cry. And Jacob, because of this deeply fearful cry, there was something in her that was stirred, almost bal korcha, against her will. She normally may not have had compassion on a Jewish child, the Ramban is implying. Perhaps she had a measure of identification with her father's gezerah. And yet, the deep humanity of the moment, the sense of a child not just crying, Ike, but crying desperately in fear and in fright, this moved her. Vatachmolav. So the Ramban is telling us something fascinating, is that her heart overwhelmed her head. And why in particular did her heart overwhelm her head? Because the intensity of the cry was so powerful. Vihine na'ar boche becharitzos uzrizos vilachain chamla alav. Now, in fairness, as beautiful as this language in the Ramban is, and I get to the questions in just a minute, ve'al da'ati, 2 lines later, says the Ramban, ein sorech l'kol zeh.
we might not need any of these interpretations. Ki ayelad miyom hivaldo yikare na'ar. It could be that these are simply synonyms. Kimosha ne'emar mana esela na'ar hayulad v'chein v'yivakesh David es halokim be'ad hano'ar. This is when, again, we're dealing with an infant. Okay? And yelad could also mean a little bit older. Kimosha ne'emar b'yishma'el v'chein hana'ar na'ar, etc., etc. So it could simply be that these are synonyms. So the Ramban says, I'm open to the possibility that the simple pshat is that yelad and na'ar could be describing children of the same age. But if we are to assume that yelad and na'ar are children of different ages, then in summation we have three approaches. Rashi, that his voice was the voice of the na'ar. The Ramban raises the difficulty with this, that would establish Moshe as a Baal Mum. We have then the approach of the Ibn Ezra, which says it wasn't his voice was that of the Na'ar, but that his Avarim, his actual physical size, was that he was kind of off the growth chart. The Ramban has the most moving interpretation, I think. Not that his voice sounded like the voice of a Na'ar, but on the contrary, he cried with the intensity of a Na'ar, with a certain fear and a fright that overwhelmed Bas Paro and caused Bas Paro to respond deeply and humanly, Vatachmol Allah, Vatomer Mialdei Ivrim Zeh. And then the Ramban comes back and says, but in truth, we may not need any of this, because if Yelad and Na'ar are really the same in terms of the age, so then there's no difficulty in the Pasuk to speak of. Let me take the questions.